12 and verse 9. 12 and verse 9. The next step in the argument. That's what we're doing here. The next step in the argument. Eta. Tous. Man. Tais. Sarkos. Himon. Pateras. Ekomen. Paiditos. Or Tiditos. Tai. Ene tre po meta. U. Poli. A day. Malon. Hippotakesometha. To. Patri. Tu. Pneumaton. Kai. Sesomen. All right. Well, we got that verse. It was a long one, wasn't it?
Day is in brackets on mine. Is that?
Yes. That means it's really not there, but it's understood to be there. Anyway, it's what we call a practical stand-in or a practical substitute. Okay? Dave, you sure you don't want one of these real heavy-duty, nice, comfortable chairs?
No,
you might go to sleep, though.
No, my back's hurting.
Oh.
I need something.
Need the straight-up ones.
Yeah.
All right, Eta, furthermore, the ones indeed of the flesh of us. And are you open there in the Amplified Bible? I forgot to bring mine tonight. Yeah. The flesh of us, fathers. Okay. We continue. We have as a habit. First person plural and perfect indicative active. All right. We continually have discipliners, spankers. Our fathers spank us, except for Dakotas.
Not saying anything.
No. Her father never gave her a spanking, I don't think. I don't think I have ever done. I don't think so. You mean that's what I did once? No. Never did I give you a whipping. No, that didn't work. That didn't happen. No spankings. I might have supposed, you probably just thought I needed to. Discipline spankers. And in a trepometha, we continue to respect reverence. All right. Them is understood. All right. Them. First person plural, imperfect, indicative, middle voice. We continue to do this for ourselves. We respect our parents because we love them. And we love them, we respect them. We honor and we reverence our parents. And then it says adverb of negation. Not much, but not much. The weak adversative conjunction particle there, day in brackets. It's basically there. Rather, it's a malon is a comparative. And then hippotakesometha, first person plural, second future, indicative passive. We shall be called to the subject, okay, to the Father of spirits, and we shall live. All right, now let's read that in the Amplified Bible there. That ought to be pretty good in the Amplified Bible. Luke 18 and verse 2, Numbers 16, 22, Numbers 27, verse 16, Revelation 22 and verse 6. Isaiah 38 and verse 16 are some of the cross-references to this. What do you have there, Brother Randall?
Moreover, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we yielded to them and respected them for training us. Shall we not much more cheerfully submit to the Father of spirits and so truly live?
All right. The word paidotos there, paidotos, that is used one time in the Septuagint. Romans 2:20 and Hosea 5 and 2 in the Septuagint, it is used one time. This is a very rare word. This means This is means disciplinarians. Disciplinarians, all right? People that spank you up straight. All right? Now, what the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying here now, if we respect our own earthly, fleshly fathers, daddy, okay, why shouldn't we respect the God of heaven, which is the creator of all spirits, the father of all spirits?
Hear it all the way up here.
Yeah, I guess it's recording. The creator of all spirits, the Patre, all right? The Patre, ton nematon, the father of all spirits, the father of every created thing. What does our father, our spiritual father, what did he do to the bad angels? Some of them got locked up and put in a chain in prison, all right? Okay, they're in a bottomless pit. Bottomless pit, I'll be sown. Now, that's for an example. What did our father do to Sodom and Gomorrah? He destroyed it. Why? Because they were defiant sinners. That's what he did. What did our father do to the nation of Israel?
When they rejected him.
Scattered them.
What did God, our father, do at the Tower of Babel?
Spread everybody out.
He corrected the world. He divided the earth. They were going to build a great tower all the way up until it could be seen in heaven and shaking their fist at God. So God shook it down. He showed them. Not only did he shake it down, he began to divide the earth in the days of Peleg, which is about that period of time. And how many houses do you think that could stand up after this shaking and during all of this shaking when the earth was being divided? They weren't going to build any big cities. God told them, don't you build any big cities. You live like a bunch of nomadic Indians. I think the reason why that God blessed the Indian people on this continent so much is because they lived right, like he told mankind to live. Scatter and multiply. That's what they did. And so, God blessed them. I don't know. I want to ask him a little bit more about that one of these days. Because I don't understand why this land was blessed so much. The father of all spirits and the father of all the creation. Jesus is the creator. But he's also our Savior, isn't he? And he gives some examples. Okay? In the book of Revelation, he's going to be wading in blood, isn't he? He's going to baptize his feet in blood, isn't he? He's going to be walking in deep blood. Now, that's the Father that this is our God, okay? This is our God. Now, as a child of God, how should we treat God? With respect, huh? If we see something in His Word that He expects of us, at us, should we just go on and do what we're going to do? All right. Should we just accept part of what He has given us in the world, in the Word of God, and just pick out bits and pieces like so many religions do today and have their hobby horse religion, what they want to believe, and go their own way? No. That's what Israel did, didn't it? Israel just loved the law. They loved the law so much they invented about 700 more laws than what God had given them. Expanded them and said, we can do it. And when Jesus came along, they said, let's kill him. He's going to take our religion away from us and mess up our government. What happened to him? God judged him. All right. What's going to happen to all the worldling religions in the world today, one of these days? They're going to be all drawn together in the end time into the great whore of Babylon, aren't they? All the saved are going to be taken out of this world. The true church is going to be taken out of this world. And the false churches are going to be left. 12 and verse 10. Hoi, man, gar, pros, oligos. Oh, these are easy words, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Can you read the next one, Brother David? Hemeros?
Hemeros.
And the next one?
Dokun?
Altois?
Dion?
Seem Pharaon.
Metalabane.
Hagoitetos. All right, you were just absolutely great. You get A pluses, all of you, tonight. You did really great. Really great. All right. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7 is a cross-reference to this one. The ones indeed toward a few days, according to the seeming good to them, they continued to spank us up straight. They kept on spanking us up straight, but the one upon the profiting unto the partake to receive of the holiness, sanctity of Him. For a few days, according to what seemed good to them, our fathers, they kept on disciplining us. And then it says, but the one profiting upon the profiting unto to receive, to welcome. That word metalabain there is used two times in the New Testament, here and in 2 Corinthians 1 and 12. Meta and lambano. We receive of Him His holiness. We become like Christ. We become Christians. That's what it means. Let's read that in the Amplified Bible, Brother Randall. Taking full advantage of you tonight.
For our earthly fathers disciplined us for only a short period of time and chastened us as seemed proper and good to them. But He disciplines us for our certain good, that we may become sharers in His own holiness.
All right, that's good. Now it says, for the ones indeed, a few, oligos, okay, that means a few, days, according to what seemed good to them, dokun. Look at that dokun there. That means to judge, to, it comes from dokio, and it says seeming good, whatever seemed good to them, they did this, what was right, what they thought was right, what they deemed was right, what they attested to be right. And they continue to discipline us, third person plural, imperfect, indicative, active. And then it says, the one profiting, bearing together, that's what it means, seem pharaon, keeping together, unto the partake, to receive beside, to receive with, meta alambano, okay, second aorist, infinitive, active, the hagiotetos, the sanctity, His holiness. All right, His holiness. When we get saved, we should start acting like children of God. We shouldn't go on and just act like the world. The best proof that you're not a child of God, if you make a profession of faith and you don't follow the Lord, is that you don't follow the Lord. Simple as that. Some of these Jews didn't follow the Lord. When God made it plain what He wanted in His Word, they went their own way. And then the Lord said there in the sixth chapter and several own places on, but he said to the writer of this epistle, he says, what other sacrifice are you going to take to the Lord? Now, since you've left His church, where He has deemed that you should walk with Him, you've gone back into this worldly system that of your own invention now. In Judaism, they had sacrifices, didn't they? They had sacrifices. He said, what kind of sacrifice are you going to have now? All of the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to the one sacrifice of God the Son. What are you going to bring to God now? What kind of sacrifice? Are you going to sacrifice Him again and put Him to shame after He's always been crucified? How many times do you think the Lord's going to come down and be sacrificed? He did it once. A pox, once. All right. Now, 12 and verse 11. 12 and verse 11. These are long verses, by the way. These are some pretty good words here, pretty easy words. Can I get my students to read these again like you did the last time? You did such a good job. I mean, why do you even need me anymore? All right. Pasa. Paideia. Okay. Karas. Ene. Lipes. Iseron. Carpon. Erenikon. Altais. Here's a hard one, so I'll help you. Gegu menasimenois. Gegu menasimenois. Apodidosin. Dukaiosunes. All right. Long verse. 1 Peter 1 and 6. James 3:17, Hebrews 5:17, 1 Timothy 4:17, Isaiah 32:17, 2 Timothy 4:8, and James 3:17. I said that before, though. 2 Corinthians 4:7 also. And for all the spanking, indeed to the present, not it feels good. It is deemed good. Third person singular present indicative active. It's not a thing of joy.
I just kind of get used to it.
Yeah. Some kids call for blows. Did you know that? Some children call for blows. I remember my second son beat anything I ever saw. He would just defy me so he could get a whipping. And I said, do you know that you're going to get a whipping? This sit there and argue with me, and I'd spank him, and his brother would say, what is wrong with you? Are you nuts? Why do you want him to whip you? Why? Why don't you just say, I'll be all right, I'll do okay, and just go on your own way instead of getting beat up? Doesn't make any sense, but how many people do that? Sometimes you ought to be able to talk to them and talk some sense into their heads without beating them up. But how many times does God have to beat us up? Because we don't listen. He tries to talk to us through His Word, doesn't He? Instead of giving us a physical beating, He would like to give us a verbal correction now and then. Wouldn't that be nice? If we could take it from His Word. Of course, you actually have to read it to receive it, don't you? All right, it seems joy to be, but lipes, oh, grievous, grievous. And then later we have carpon, that means fruit peaceable. To the ones, through her having been exercised, that word there, we get our word gymnastic from this word. This means to strain and to train. hard training. Dakota has been doing a lot of push-ups and set-ups and things. Lately, she's building herself up. She doesn't have a, what do you call it in school? PE, physical education. She doesn't have physical education. She has it in a special program. So what physical education she gets at home, she does her own gymnastics. She trains. How many set-ups have you done lately, Dakota? 60? 60 set-ups? And how many push-ups? Oh, 25 push-ups and 60 set-ups. You're working on that really good. I'll check on her every now and then. Boy, she's working out in her bedroom in there, just working up the storm, doing her exercises and everything. Staying in shape. And you get a bellyache, don't you? Your muscles in your stomach hurt. And your muscles in your arm hurt when you do this. Do you do any exercise, David? Do you do calisthenics or anything?
Used to.
Oh, okay. When you do that, Randall does his 20-mile bike rides. Isn't it 20-mile bike rides?
Yeah.
Do your legs ever hurt when you get through?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, they don't. Boy, be in good shape doing it. All right. Getting in shape and staying in shape. All right. The fruit peaceable to the ones through her having been exercised, it pays back of righteousness. Okay? When you exercise, you feel better sometimes.
Yep.
You feel better. It makes you feel better, so you get a reward. You get a reward when you feel better from the hard work that you do. All right? You do this hard work. Marilyn, I remember when you were riding your bicycle in the house. And you were feeling better. He has a stationary exercise cycle. Fruit, carpone, peaceable. Now let's read that in the Amplified Bible, Brother Randall. I like that Amplified Bible. We study these words and look at these words. Joy, taros, joy, to be. But grief, when we're crying and hurting, now, if you're crying and hurting, and you're in physical pain, it's not joy, is it? When you get a whooping from the Lord, it's not joyful. But what he's trying to do is spank you up into righteousness. What do you have there, Brother Randall?
For the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems grievous and painful. But afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, a harvest of fruit which consists in righteousness in conformity to God's will in purpose, thought, and action, resulting in right living and right standing with God.
That's a real good explanation of that verse. Real good explanation. So, when we are disciplined by our Father, we straighten ourselves out. How would you... Just look at it this way. There are a lot of orphans in the world, aren't there? There are orphans that really have mothers and fathers that don't give a hoot about them. As long as those children stay out of their way, they can do anything they want to. How would you like to have a parent like that, Dakota? Not that, huh? Not that kind. I make her go to bed at night. I try to make her eat the right kind of food. I don't have to make her study because she does that her own. I just don't have to do that. I think that's DNA or something. Studies on her own. But how about if you just were turned loose out in the world like a mama turtle lays a turtle and walks off and leave them? There are some people that do that to their children. Some people use their children. And they grow up and they're just absolutely have no goals in life whatsoever at times. If they grow up, they grow up in spite of their parents, not by the correction of them. God loves you. God will never, ever, ever abandon you like that. Once He births you, you're His and He will guide you. He will spank you when you need it. Be ready for it. If you go the wrong way, when you're God's child, you're going to get a spanking. You may think you're getting by with it right then. I remember my oldest boy came to me about, I guess, after 10 years after he was grown. He was probably nearly 30 years old. He said, "Dad, I thought you were going to kill me at times." But he said, "You saved my life." He said, "I was going to go like the rest of my friends, and you scared me so bad that I didn't do it." He said, "You saved my life." Saved his life. Well, you got to care for them. You got to care for them. When you have children, you got to care for them. When God births you, He does care for you. I can assure you of that. You will never be left alone. You will never be left to fend for yourself. You have an eternal inheritance. And you have His love to guide you all through life. If you go the wrong way, I can assure you that it's going to hurt. If you go the right way, He's going to bless you. As simple as that. There, we're going to make some tracks now. 12 and verse 12. Dio.
Yo.
Come on, guys. Toss. Paremenos. Keros. Paralelemina. Oh. That one's a hard one, so I helped you. Gonata. Anorthosate. All right. That's a short verse now. We have some pretty neat words in here in the short verse. Diatos. Wherefore, the ones, having been wearied. All right. Hands. Now, this word paremenos, it comes from para and amy, and it means to be tired, to relax, to let pass. All right. Having wearied the hands and the, all right, and the having been paralyzed. Look at that. Having been wearied, accusative plural feminine. Perfect participle passive, having been caused to be weary, their hands. And the, having been paralyzed, this means to loosen on one side, to dissolve. It means to like have a stroke on one side. That's what it's talking about. You're paralyzed on one side. You've been crippled. You've Luke 5:18 is a cross-reference to that one. The other word up there, paremi, is Luke 11 and verse 42. Now look at the writers that's cross-referenced to these. I want you to pay a real close attention. Who was Luke?
Dr. Luke.
Scientist Luke. Classical writer Luke.
He was a smart one.
He's a very educated man, educated in the classics, in the classical Greek. Koine in classical Greek. He was educated in high Greek. Somebody that speaks Castilian Spanish can hardly understand the slang border Spanish. And they can't understand each other. This man is using high Greek terms. Luke used these terms because Luke was a highly educated man. If our guess is right, or my guess is right, and this could have been, who is it? Apollos? He was a highly educated Greek writer. Okay? If that was who this is. Okay? He's using terms that educated people use. All right? The having been paralyzed, to loosen on one side, dissolve, and the knees ye strengthen. Anorthosate. All right? Anorthosate. To straighten up. To straighten up, to strengthen. Second person plural, first aorist, imperative, active. Isaiah 35 and verse 3, Luke 3:13, Acts 15:16. Who wrote the book of Acts?
Luke.
Luke 13:13, Luke 11:42. Does this kind of sound familiar, this type of writing? All right, I don't think Luke wrote this, but it is his kind of writing. This young man would have been educated with the same standard that Luke was. Okay? Let's read that one in Amplified Bible. Let's take a look at this one. Paremenos, paralelumina, and anorthosate. And gonata, that is the knees, okay?
Okay, so, verse 12?
12.
So then brace up and revigorate and set right your slackened and weakened and drooping hands and strengthen your feeble and palsied and tottering knees.
All right.
Palsied.
Palsied. Palsied. Palsied. Yeah, palsied. Palsing, tottering knees. Okay. When I was young, I weighed like 220 to 240 pounds almost most of my life. Now I weigh 170. When I was young, my legs were really big. They were really large. Even when I was thin, my legs were gigantic. Now they're bird legs. They've dwindled away. I've tried to exercise them and everything else, walk a lot and everything, but they still are dwindling away. These are old people terms, geriatric terms. When you get old, this happens to you, whether you like it or not. It just happens.
Darn.
It's just something. It's just terrible. Okay? But you could die young when you're in the prime of life. All right? Isn't that what the prophet told Eli on Sunday morning, when we were studying Sunday morning? Well, your sons are going to die young in the prime of life. Well, at least I didn't die in the prime of life. I try to keep my brain going and study all the time, try to keep it active and gymnastically exercise my brain cells. I read a little thing the other day. After you're 60 years old, the speed limit is no longer an inconvenience. It's a challenge. After you're 60 years old, you can use most of your brain cells because you've only got enough barely left to keep going. You can keep them active. A lot of these other things. Geriatric terms. How many geriatric Christians are there? You find out, and a lot of times, most of the older Christians, they may be geriatric in body, but they're really strong in spirit, aren't they? They're finally give up on the world and are really thinking a lot about the Lord. 12 and verse 13. Making tracks. Kai? Trochios. Orthos. Paete. Poiete, I should say. Tois. Posin. Hemon. Or Hemon. Hina. May. Colon. Ek. Tra. Pe. Iate, De, Malan. Let's look at this verse. There's some really neat words in here. And make your tracks, your wagon wheel straight. That's what it says, literally. Make your wagon wheel straight. Make a straight path. American Indians used to have a sweat lodge ceremony. And when you'd walk into that sweat lodge, you walked into it in a certain way, and it was kind of a raised road, and they called that the red road. If man was spiritual, he was on the red road. If he was not spiritual, it meant that he was off the track. That's the word used right here. Off the track. All the way. The word hamartia does not mean to fall short of or to miss the mark. What it means is to go out of the pathway. Okay? And this is what it's talking about. The track of the wheel. By the way, this is only used like this one time in the New Testament. This is it. Okay? Trochios, orthos. Okay? Straight tracks. Our English ortho comes out of that second word. Trochios, tracks. Make straight tracks. Make your pathways straight. In the Psalms it says, let your word be a light unto my pathway. The reason why you want it to be a light unto your pathway is so you can make straight tracks. I remember when I went back to Oklahoma, not Oklahoma, but Texas one year, I spent my vacation back there with Billy Bowles, my close friend, and I took my vacation and went back there and farmed. I drove his cotton planter, and I planted a lot of crooked rows. He could plant them real straight because he was used to doing that, but I didn't quite make the straight rows that he said because I wiggled them like that I got more cotton in there than he ever had before. But I didn't make straight tracks. All right? And he could tell, everybody could come along and says, who planted that cotton? Who wasn't making straight tracks? You can tell it. You could tell it from the air. Crooked rows. From the air. I gave him a bad reputation that year with those crooked rows, but at least he got a lot of cotton. Just think about when God looks down from heaven and looks at our crooked pathways. How many times have we gone right and left and wiggled and wobbled in our lives? He can see it from heaven, the crooked rows, the crooked pathways. Make your pathways straight for the feet of you, in order that not you may be lame. Not lame, you may be turned aside, twisted. How many of you ever seen somebody that was crippled? I was out the other day feeding Dakota's horse. I jumped over the fence. I still think I'm young sometime. You know that I can jump in and out of a boat and over fences and stuff better than my two young boys? Well, not young anymore. One of them's 45 and the other one's 42 or something. 40, somewhere around there. Anyway, I jumped over the fence, and I got my foot caught in the fence. And it went underneath the fence. I put my foot on a rock down there, and the rock decided to go underneath the fence, and I caught my foot in the fence. And I was hobbling around there holding on the thing because my foot was underneath the fence, and my leg was going the wrong way. If I had just hadn't been careful when I did that, I could have broken my foot, and then my foot wouldn't have been straight. It would have been going off to the side, see, like this. That's what it means. You got a broken foot. When you got crippled feet, you can't walk straight. Brother Farrar, Dr. Carl E. Farrar, he had muscular dystrophy when he was very young, got it when he was 5 years old. He had to go into the Shriners Hospital, and the Shriners operated on his feet, and they literally made his feet were all twisted. And they straightened his feet out and put his feet in braces so he could walk with crutches. And with braces. He would have never been able to walk because he had crooked feet. I know he wouldn't mind me using that illustration. It says, and tracks, make straight tracks, like a wagon wheel, for the feet of you, in order that not you may be twist your ankles. Don't jump fences and stick your foot underneath the fence and try to break your leg, like me. Get out there in the pathway and walk straight. That each one may be cured, rather. Let's read that from, look at that word cured there. That's iami, hiomai, all right, cure. And then we have ektrepo, that means to put it where you can't walk straight. It'd be like walking down here like the hobo. What was his name? That used to walk with his feet up, put it like that. The guy with the little hat and the cane. Yeah. Charlie Chaplin. All right. Walking like this. He walked like that, like a duck wobbling. Okay. Now that's when you have crooked feet, that's what you do. Okay. You walk crooked. You walk a crooked path. You can't walk a straight path. Proverbs 4:26, Galatians 2:14, Galatians 6:1, James 5:16, Matthew 11:5. All right? Talks about this. Colon, the word lame there, Matthew 11 and verse 5. Let's read that one in the Amplified Bible, Randall.
And cut through and make firm and plain and smooth straight paths for your feet. Yes, make them safe and upright and happy paths that go in the right direction, so that the lame and halting limbs may not be put out of joint, but rather may be cured.
All right. God tries to cure our wandering ways, doesn't he, with a little correction? Our earthly fathers try to cure our wandering ways with a little correction, so that may not ruin our lives. I counsel young people so many times. I said, when you get married, check their mamas and daddies, see what kind of people they were. That's the most important thing. Check who and see their mothers and fathers, find out how kind of mother and father they have. Okay? Because if it's a girl, they're probably going to act like their mama and expect a daddy like their dad. And if this woman has got a squealing, squalling, brawling mama, you don't want that poor girl, because she may act just like mama. Okay? That's very important. Make sure they're not nuts. Make sure. I mean, just think about it nowadays. How many diseases are out there? Tell them to bring a certified bill of health that they're okay, so if you kiss this person, you're not going to get some dreaded disease for the rest of your life. Isn't this terrible? That it's like this? Weird. But that's, you better be careful. Extremely careful in everything you do. I was preaching about Ruth. I preach here about Ruth, but over there at that new church, I said, and Ruth went out and basically had herself baptized. You know, the girls, the Jewish girls, when they got ready to go get married, they went out there and they had themselves, had their mother or somebody baptize them, dip them 12 times, once for each tribe of Israel. And I said, Ruth went all through all the ceremonial cleansing, and she slipped in there on old Boaz and lays at his feet and asked him to become her husband. They plotted against him. Of course, evidently he was okay with that idea, because he later did that, but he said, wait a minute, get out of here before morning, because man alive, there's a closer kinsman than I did, and he's got the right to redeem you first. And if he finds out you've been sleeping with me tonight, it's not going to be good. So get out of here before daylight. Send her home with a 6 measures of barley, and that told Mama that I'm not finished yet, that I'm going to not rest until this problem is taken care of. So he went out, he did that, and he took her as his goel, as his wife. He did the act of the goel, okay? How many times today, if you could pick out your child's mate for them, it might be better than them. But let's look at it this way. You got a daughter. You try to make... I'm sure that you would like to tell her to go the right direction. Of course, she's grown, got married, and got little kids now. All
she did
that.
A good job.
Yeah, she did a good job. All right. But you want to guide them. You want to guide them to get the right person. You don't want them to come along and just grab the first one. You want them to look at the situation carefully. All right? Look at the situation carefully. Because a child can bring disaster to their lives this way. You try to hook up with the wrong person. But just look at it in life. Who are your friends? Okay? Who are your friends? Do you pick the wrong friends? What kind of person do you want to hang around? Somebody that's an ungodly buzzard, or somebody that's a Christian? We need to think about this all, even in work. When it says, "Do you be ye not unequally yoked?" You know what it's talking about? Not talking about marriage there. It's not talking about marriage. Don't be ye unequally yoked. That means to put a donkey and a cow together and try to get them to walk the same. You don't put a horse and a donkey or a horse and a mule together in the carriage because they walk differently. All right? So how are you going to go out in the working world and work with a bunch of unbelievers? You better be careful who you work with. This is all important, isn't it? Look at the scriptures carefully. In verse number 14, we have a warning against rejecting God's grace. We'll just get started with this a little bit. Araining. The okete. Meta. Pontone. Okay, girls and boys. Kaitone. Hagiasmon. Ooh. Who there? That's a rough breather, by the way. Who? That's not an adverb of negation, but it's a relative pronoun. Okay. Choris. Udes. Opsete. Ton. Kirion. All right. Follow, chase after like you're on a hunt. Like you're a coon dog after a raccoon. Like you're a bear dog after a bear. Like you're a cat dog after a cat. Run them down. Peace. Follow after peace with all men. And sanctification and the holiest. Holiness. Not of this earth is what it literally means. Not of earthly ideas. Which, without or outside of, no one shall see for himself the Lord. All right. That's a hard statement right there. Hard statement. 12 and verse 14, Randall, let's look at that one more time, and then I'm going to turn you loose on the world. 12 and 14. Araini diokete. That diokete, that means to chase down. Second person plural present, imperative active. Sanctification. Without no one shall see the Lord, the Kyrios, the Jehovah. Go ahead, Brother Randall.
Strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord.
All right. The consecration and holiness without which no one shall see the Lord. How do you begin the process of sanctification? First of all, you need to be born again. There are people that are halfway decent people in the world that are lost. They don't know the Lord. But they're morally sound people. They're honest people, whatever. But the Lord's people ought to be that way, shouldn't they? Because they're related to the God of heaven. Romans 14, 19, 6 and 22, Hebrews 12 and 10 and 9, 28, Matthew 5 and 8, and Hebrews 12 and 18. These are all cross-references to this verse right here. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7 and Romans 6, 19 and Matthew 5 and 8. All right, I'll get 5 and 8 up there also. Follow after, chase down peace and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. Once you've been saved, you ought to show your relationship to God by trying to act like Him. That's what being a Christian is, isn't it? When you're a Christian, you're Christ-like. Christ-like. Well, 12 and verse 15 is where we'll start next week. And this is the 11th month of this year already, and the fourth day, I guess. 11th month. Fourth day. It just doesn't hardly seem like this year has gone by. In a few days, Dakota is going to be 17 years old. 17 years old. Boy! It seems like yesterday that you were born.
You were only this tall when I was.
Yeah. She was little when you first saw her, wasn't she?
Uh-huh.
Remember when she used to come to my Greek classes and she'd sit there on there and write Greek? That little rascal would write Greek and she didn't even know how to write English yet. And she would be writing Greek, copying off the board what I'd written up there on the blackboard, and then pretty soon she'd get tired and start snoring. And she'd be laying on her little pallet down there asleep. What a little child she was. What a good little girl. What a good little girl. All right, let's turn you loose on the world and let's go out and do something eternal this week. Pray for all the people we've asked you to do. Remember to pray for Randall's mother and pray for Brother Blanton and those that we need that need our prayers. Brother Randy, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, Mother?
Our God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for allowing us to study